Hello everyone. Hi. Welcome to another episode of Cedars in Lebanon. It's episode 5 and wow, I cannot believe that, you know, you followed the whole the episodes up until episode 5 and you're here listening to episode 5, and I'm just so excited for that. I'm also very excited to get to record the 5th episode. Like, that's a landmark. I'm just very grateful to God. So yeah, thank you so much once again for clicking on the link to listen. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for being with us from the first episode up until the 5th episode. It means a lot to us, and thank you so much for allowing God speak to you and allowing him use you in this way. I'm very excited for the journey that is ahead of us, and you know, I'm just very grateful to God. Yeah, so very quickly, today's episode is it's a special one because it's a series, first of all. And okay, before we even go on, I should mention that I'm the only one recording here today. Yeah, which is absolutely weird. But we thank God. Yeah. And yeah, so the episode is titled New Because of You. This is not going to be the only New Because of You episode. So New Because of You episodes are basically going to be salvation stories of men and women who have come to know Jesus, and well, they'd just be recounting and retelling the story of how Jesus found them. Because Jesus, speaking in the book of John, he said, "You didn't choose me, I chose you." So it's just basically going to be their story of how Jesus found them, how they left the world and came to Christ, or how they gave their lives to Christ, basically how they came to that point of understanding and knowing this God that we speak of, and how the Lord found them and brought them home, and the lessons, of course, the lessons are the most important, right? The lessons that we can draw from, you know, their stories. It's going to be an exciting ride, I promise you. So you're going to see a lot of New Because of You episodes. Well, not a lot, right? But a good number of New Because of You episodes as we go forward. And I'm excited about that. So, I mean, the first New Because of You episode is, well, it's my story. It's not something that I plan to share, because I actually went back and forth about recording this episode. I don't want to say I ran away, but I hesitated on sharing this story. But I think I understand now that God can use anything he pleases to bring him glory and to save a man and to save a soul. And that includes my story. That includes your story. That includes, I mean, anyone's story. He can use it for his glory. And I just think that that's very amazing. So we're going to be very quick getting into it. I want to try to, by God's grace, make the episode as short as possible, because it's one person. And all right, how I gave my life to Christ. Well, okay, first of all, before even going into how I gave my life to Christ, I think that if I was to give my story a theme or a title, it would just be that verse, "The righteous fall 7 times and they get back up." That would be a perfect example of my own salvation story, because first of all, I think my salvation story begins in the kind of home I grew up in. I grew up in a Christian home, as in like Christian Pentecostal home. I grew up attending, well, not just church, apart from church, before even getting to the church setting, my home, my family was a Christian home. I grew up in the kind of home where memory verses were a very compulsory thing. Like every Friday, we would stand in front of my parents to recite our 5 memory verses for the week, so like one for every day. And we were infused with the word of God from very early ages. That's me and my siblings. Yeah, so my parents put us through intense study of the word. Prayer was not a weird thing, because I mean, I saw my parents pray. And the good thing was that I didn't just see my parents pray, I saw them pray and I saw their prayers get answered. So praying and receiving answers was something that was, you know, was normal, or rather it was weird to not receive answers for your prayers. So I grew up in that kind of home. My parents were very, very intentional about, you know, our spiritual growth and all of that. They were the real definition of training up a child in the way you should go, right? And I just really appreciate them for that. I am eternally grateful to my parents for that. Like, they allowed the Lord to use them so greatly in that aspect, and I'm grateful to them. I'm grateful to God and to them for that. Yeah. So I received Jesus as a child, actually. I learned about giving my life to Christ as a child. I mean, I know that many of us were part of this category of people that, you know, I had given my life to Christ as a child. My mom, I told my mom I wanted to give my life to Christ. I asked her what it means. She explained it to me. She asked me what was prompting me to, you know, give my life to Christ. I told her. We had like such a conversation. So, I mean, she prayed that prayer for me. And so I prayed. And then she told me, you've not given your life to Christ. But I was part of that category of people that, you know, anytime an altar call was raised, I would go out. Now, you should understand, I was a very shy kid. Like, I did not like to be outside. Oh my God. I did not like anything that had to do with me going outside in front of, even outside our compound, like where we stay. When children are going outside to play, I liked staying inside. I preferred to stay inside with just the confines of my room and the four walls and read a book or something. I liked my company. I didn't like to, you know, go out. So you can understand what it means when I say that, you know, I finish hearing a message and I'm just like, God. And then every single time they call for altar call, I am on stage. Like, I'm running out. I'm like, I need to give my life to Christ. Meanwhile, I had already prayed the salvation prayer, but the assurance of my salvation was not yet in my hands. Like, I didn't even totally understand to the full extent what it meant, right? But then I was a child. I was really young. I don't remember how old I was, but I was young. Anyway, fast forward to when I was 9 years old. I think at this age, I had stopped coming out for altar call, right? But I was 9 years old. I went for a junior Bible school. It was basically like a summer camp for teenagers, 10 years to 19, where, you know, we just go. I think it was a week or 3 days. I don't remember. But yes, it was a summer camp. It was basically like a normal summer camp, but this time was a Jesus camp. Yeah, so we went for JBS. My mom insisted on all of us going because that was me and my brother then. We're the only people that were close to going. I wasn't even a teenager yet, so I wasn't even supposed to go. But my mom insisted on us going because, I mean, it's good, right? And also, it would help us. And I'm also very grateful to God that we went for that camp. So we went for junior Bible school camp. I was 9 years old, remember, and the age group started from 10. So by the time I got there, they were already like, no, like, just go back home. But I mean, after constant, I tried to convince them, tell them that it was that August, because it was in August. I tried to tell them my birthday was in that August, and I was going to clock 10 years old, so they should please allow me to stay. So after so much begging and all of that, they now decided, okay, you can't stay. It was at this junior Bible school that I received the Holy Spirit. I remember like it was yesterday, like they asked who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I mean, I don't even know what prompted me to want to raise up my hand or to go, right? And so I just went out and they took all of us to a room, a classroom actually, and then they started praying for us. The only thing, honestly, nothing dramatic happened. The only thing I remember was I was in tears and that was it. And after leaving there, I just knew that I had the Holy Spirit. Like, it was just a knowing. I don't know how. I don't know why. Okay, then I did not know how and why, but now I can say that it was just that inner witness, right? And so I could just tell that I had the Holy Spirit with me, and I did not know. I didn't understand why I could tell, but I just knew that I had received the Holy Spirit. And so by the time I went back, I told my mom. I was like, Mommy, you won't believe it. We received the Holy Spirit. They prayed for us and we received the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. My parents were so excited. My mom was like, okay, so that you speak with boldness, let's be praying, right? And, you know, then I thought we're praying for boldness. I did not understand that it was the praying in the Holy Ghost that gives you boldness, right? So we started having prayers with my mom. That was me and my elder brother. So that, you know, to just have boldness, to have that boldness. Fast forward to after JBS, I went to secondary school. It was immediately after that same summer, like the next September, I went to secondary school. At first, it was all good and cool. I was still maintaining my calmness and my introverted nature and all of that. But you know that The world will not respect whether or not you claim to be introverted or not. If the devil wants to get you and you're not guarded, your heart is not guarded, right? It will be easy. It will not be hard, actually. Because even the circumstances that surround you, the world alone is enough for him to get you. That is why you need to be infused daily with the word and prayer. You absolutely cannot do without these two things. But anyway, I entered into my first grade. Okay, it wasn't first grade now. It was first, yeah, GSS 1. That's what we call it, right? And, you know, everything was good and cool and everything like that. Luckily for me, okay, I won't say it was luck. It was a blessing. From my GSS 1, okay, so we had this thing in secondary school that was called, where we had spiritual parents and, yeah, spiritual fathers and mothers. So basically, teachers would be your spiritual fathers and mothers. So from my GSS 1, we already knew this man. God. We already knew this man. I personally will send this episode to him to listen. But yes, we already knew this man, Mr. Tosin. Mr. Tosin was my spiritual father. He was also our chaplain or assistant chaplain then. And I mean, I remember seeing my name there under Mr. Tosin's name. I was like, Jesus, why would you do this to me? Put me under Mr. Tosin. Because Mr. Tosin was not who you'd call a normal man. Let me put it like that. Mr. Tosin was a man of prayer. He's a man of prayer. I still know him, yeah. So Mr. Tosin is a man of prayer and he's a like, you know, when someone has, it's like someone has been dipped into fire and they brought him out. Mr. Tosin is a man of fire. He's a man of prayer, a man of the word. He was one of the people that God absolutely used to carve out those very early stages of my walk with him. So Mr. Tosin was my spiritual father, which was a great blessing. I didn't know how much of a blessing it was until I had to leave secondary school. Then I realized, wow, God absolutely was with me and he never left me stranded. Like, he never left me alone. There were always men around me. There were always either friends or spiritual authority. There were always people around me to hold me up. I mean, it was Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I think there's 9 to 10 where Solomon's speaking and he said that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor, and if they fall, one will lift up the other person. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, because he has no one to help him up. So I think the Lord knew that this girl, as she's going to fall a lot, so I need men on her path and in her way that will help her when she falls. And for that, I'm eternally grateful, honestly. So secondary school was just basically falling and rising. Like I said, my story is a story of falling and rising. Righteous falls 7 times, but it gets back up. Like, it was in secondary school that I also picked up some very, very, very terrible habits. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm talking about. So you think that, okay, I grew up in a Christian home does not mean that the world will not come and meet me. That's error. The world came to meet me. It came in its fullness and its totality to meet me. It was in secondary school that I met a lot of people from different backgrounds. I was introduced to all sorts of things. Now, forget the fact that it was a missionary secondary school. People come to missionary. All of us are going to the hospital. Let me just put it like that and end there. Like, it was secondary school that I got introduced properly. I've heard of it before. My father had warned us against it when it came to the subject of worldly music. My father absolutely abhors God, abhors worldly music. And so my father made sure that we would not get entangled in that. So he had warned us concerning listening to, singing, or even following anyone who sings worldly music. But of course, you know, when they tell you don't do, that's what you want to go and do. And so I don't even know how, but somehow, some way, I got introduced into the whole world of worldly music. Secondary school was like fuel that was pouring on top of that fire, like, was supplying that, you know. You'd go to school and someone would be like, oh my God, did you hear so song from so? And you'd be so confused and so lost and you don't even know what to contribute in this conversation. And so you just go back home and you listen to all the possible songs that you can find. And because of this peer pressure, you now go back to school. And so you're able to actually communicate and able to contribute in this kind of conversation. And so it was just a lot. But still, all in all, we thank God. It was also in secondary school that I got introduced to using swear words and curse words, which was very, very just nasty. Now I'm thinking about it, I just get very angry, first of all. Then I later go on to say, thank you, Jesus. Because how God delivered me from that one, I do not even know. Sometimes it's even hard to understand. And remember, all this while, I was speaking in tongues, though. I had the gift of the Holy Spirit, remember? I was still praying. I was still speaking in tongues. They will call for prayer and I will go. See, the fact that all of these things were happening simultaneously does not separate one from the other. So, I mean, we would go for prayers because we used to have the Saturday prayers. We would go for prayers because we used to have the Saturday prayers. Where we would pray for a long period of time and then study the word for hours, like maybe about 4 hours. We would spend it praying. And then we would study the word. I was also in the choir, I should not fail to mention, so that you understand the gravity of what was upon me, so that you understand. So the same mouth that I'll carry and use to join the choir and sing on Wednesdays and Sundays, because we had services on those days, and used to pray those hours of prayers on Saturday, is the same mouth that I'll carry on Monday, on Tuesday, and used to swear. Like, I'll actually use the mouth to insult somebody or to swear some kind of, profane words. That was the real definition of profanity. No, I needed deliverance. Honestly, I'm not even going to. Like, it was a lot. But still, in all of this, we thank God. So that was my secondary school life. I was just living very religiously. And I mean, it was also during that period that we had a lot of conversations about relationship with God. That it's not about religion. Christianity is not a religion, it's relationship. This was something that I had on a daily. But for it to have that transforming effect on my life, it was an issue. So, I mean, yeah, that was it. I was living such a, you know, I was living that very, like, I had separated when it came to the things of God and my own things. They were separate, like those are separate things. Fast forward to after secondary school, I graduated from secondary school, glory to God, and then it was like I had a new a new level, another measure of the world. Because honestly, I know that as much as I would like to say we were the same, I went to missionary school. People who didn't go to missionary schools are very different from me, because, I mean, you hear stories from those other schools, how they used to jump the fence to go for parties. I could never try that. At least that was something that missionary school boxed me in. So it made sure I'd not go to the extremes. So I could never try that. There were things I was genuinely afraid of, because, you know, being in that environment, in that missionary school, just kind of just, you know, made it such that there was just some things I could not even think, talk less of doing. But I should also state at this point that God never forgot me and he never left me. He walked with me all the way. He walked with me. And he always sent men. This is one thing that I'm always very grateful for, the gift of men. The gift of men in my life, Oh God. Till today, there are some men in secondary school and even after that the Lord just positioned in my life divinely, divine arrangement. You don't even know how you came to meet or how you got to know each other, but some way, somehow, your paths crossed and your lives never remained the same again. There are certain people who I met who my story cannot be complete if I don't mention them. Like, they were just of that much great help to me by the help of God. And, you know, that was just very amazing. So I was always reminded of the fact that God was mindful of me. But, I mean, me, I never gave God mind. I always put God separately and then other things separately. And, of course, I was that kind of Christian that ran to God whenever I needed anything. And that was it, you know. So, fast forward to after secondary school, I entered into university. I went to the university in Abuja where I joined a fellowship there. My father was president actually of the fellowship, but in another state where he did his own university. So he made sure that I went to that particular fellowship on campus when I finally went to school, to the university. So I went there and everything. Of course, I was in the choir again. I wanted to join the choir in this fellowship, but it was different here in that to join the choir, you had to go through, and I know people see this as weird, but honestly, I thank God for a system like that, because a system like that was what made me look inward and say, precious, true, this path you're going, there's a way that seems right to a man, and the end is destruction. It was because of a system like that that it made me go back and begin to think about my life. Now, what happened? It seemed like it was just a few minutes, but it completely changed my life. The way the system is in that fellowship is such that if you want to join a unit, they wait. You're on probation. Everybody that wants to join a unit at the beginning of, let's say, a semester. So all of you are on probation for a particular time. All of you, every unit, whether Bible study, choir, prayer, whatever unit. Then on a particular day, they now bring out the list of people that have been faithful, as in you've been consistent even while on probation. And then they now fix a particular one day for an interview. It's like you're going to apply for a job. Truly. And honestly, the father's work requires such, you know, meticulousness, right? And I mean, the father's work requires such excellence being put into it. So I totally understood their stand. So you would see a lot of people that want to join units that day. You see the crowd of people that were on the line just for interview. The way this interview is, there are two people from each unit that will interview you, but it's not the unit you want to join that will interview you. So for example, there are two people from the choir, two people from Bible study, two people from prayer unit, two people from, let's say, evangelism, two people in groups. And then you go to one of those groups and then they interview you and ask you questions. Now, I was somehow low on the list, like my name was very low on the list. And so when it was my turn to enter, I had entered. These two men of God, they were in the Bible study team. I will never forget. They were in the Bible study team. These two men of God sat down and questioned me extensively. When I say the questions they asked, and even myself, I was afraid. So that was the way the system was. It was very strogy, like it was very strict, but but it was good. So these two men of God, Bible study team, they asked me questions and then they finished. One of them stood up to leave. Another sister came. And she sat down. She was in the choir. And I think she was also in the prayer department, because I had seen her join prayer team before. And she sat down. And she looked at the paper. Okay, because they also had a paper. Like they had like a checklist or something like that. And she looked at the paper like they were holding for me. And then she said, okay, tell me about your salvation experience. I want to hear again. Huh. And I started talking. Myself, I didn't even know what I was saying, honestly. And I started telling her about, you know, I said being official. You know how? You know how you're looking for what they want to hear. And I started talking, I started talking. After some time, she stopped me. And then she started talking. And all she said, my God, it was like someone carried magnifying glass and put me under and put and started watching me. Because everything she was saying was me. Like, she started describing the kind of life I was living at that point. I remember, actually, okay, I don't remember everything. I don't remember things she said now. But I remember one thing she said that was very weird to me. And it kept me thinking. And that was one thing I carried with me. And I just kept wondering, like, God, is this life? Is this the life that, you know, some people are living? She said that when she gave her life to Christ, because she now started telling me about her own salvation experience. And she told me that when she gave her life to Christ, she lost all interest for certain things. That, for example, she hears people playing worldly music and it just itches her ear. Like, it annoys her. Ah. By the time I was done with that interview, oh yes, I passed the interview, guys. Because, you know, I was saying some certain things that, you know, didn't dare to hear. Like, but honestly, if it's left to me, in the eyes of God, I shouldn't have passed that interview. But thank God I passed. But yes, by the time I was going back to my hostel after we had finished the interview, I kept thinking about what she said. I was like, how is it possible for anybody to not listen to worldly music? In my mind, I even said it's a lie. As in, because I even knew the kind of school I was in. Everywhere you go, there's God. When you walk into temptation yourself. Temptation doesn't need to come and meet you. You walk into it yourself. So as going back, I was just like, no, it's not possible. It's a lie. How would she say she does not listen to worldly music? It's a lie. I was so convinced that it was a lie. But thank God for that experience. That experience also contributed to when I finally went back to the Lord. So I left that university and came to Russia, to Moscow. God's gift to me. Moscow is God's gift to me, honestly. Okay, but before I came to Moscow, I was in another city. Now, when did I finally drop and give everything back to God. And see, it was not only worldly music I was struggling with. I just keep emphasizing on worldly music because that was the main thing that was feeding every other thing. It was feeding every other thing. In secondary school, we taught about worldly music and the spirit behind worldly music. I know that many minds might be close to this, but let me just say it so that it would just be a seed in your heart and you would hear. If you're out there and you still listen to worldly music, let me tell you what you're doing to yourself. The spirit behind worldly music, the way they taught us in secondary school, actually, we watched a video about it. The spirit behind worldly music is a python spirit. It's a chokehold. You will not know why or how you need to listen to worldly music. You don't even know what it's doing to you until you come out of it. It's after I stopped listening to worldly music by the help and grace of God. Honestly, it's after I stopped that I saw many of the things that it was feeding. I realized that certain immoralities and certain habits in my life were easier to let go of and to drop. It was easier to accept the grace of God to drop those things when I stopped listening to worldly music. That's to show the extent to which worldly music was feeding. Ah, God, it was supplying my flesh. You know what they say something is? It was absolutely supplying my flesh. So worldly music is a no-no. It's an absolute no for me. Like, it's a no. It should be a no for you too. Like, I absolutely cannot stand it. Even the slightest ones that people go like, it's just a love song, eh? What's the spirit behind that song? What's the spirit behind that song? Honestly. So it's a chokehold. You don't even know what is holding bound in your life till you come out of it. And many times it's not something that they lay hands on you to get delivered from. Some deliverances, yes, they lay hands on you and they pray and cast out that spirit. But some deliverances, you yourself, you have to step out of it. You have to tell yourself, okay, I've come to a point where I know that this thing, I need to be delivered from it. And so God, help me. And by yourself, you will step out with the help of the Holy Spirit. You will step out of that thing. There's some deliverances that you deliver yourself, right? Okay, I've digressed. Anyway, so I was still living in all of these things. And mind you, I was still speaking in tongues, which is why I should also state at this point, right, that the gifts of God are unto repentance. The fact that you are walking in the gifts of the Spirit does not mean that the Spirit of God is walking with you. I hope that what I said makes sense. The proof that you're walking with the Spirit of God is the fruits, not the gifts. See, gifts will deceive you. Oh my God. Do not ever let your eyes be so blinded by, you know, yes, the gifts are good. And the Lord gives us the gifts so that we can be refreshed and encouraged even in His presence. And many times the gifts are actually for the unbelievers. But listen, don't ever judge the growth or your walk with God or growth in your spiritual life by the manifestation of gifts. You will be led astray. God forbid. Anyway, the proof that you're walking with the Spirit of God is in the fruits, not in the gifts. So yes, I was speaking in tongues. There were some things that I had. I was speaking in tongues. I was having dreams. So it was easy to mistake that I was in God when truly I was not. I'm coming to it. So during 2020, during the pandemic, I wasn't in Moscow actually. I was in another city. Something happened I got offended with. And I once again went back to one of the other spiritual authorities in my life. And I told him about everything. And he told me to go and seek the face of God. He told me to go to God about it. Like, I should go and ask God what God thinks. And I remember thinking, just tell me what to do. You're telling me to go to God. Just tell me what to do. And I saw it as so much work. You want me to go to God? Ah, God. I was tired. I was like, you want me to go to God? Anyway, thank God I went to God. Thank God I went to God. Thank God I went to God. So I went to God. And I prayed an honest prayer. I said, God, please, concerning this matter, tell me what to do so that I release this offense from my heart. Because I was really offended. I needed to let it go. So I went to God and I told him, God, please tell me what to do. Give me, even if it's scriptures, to release this offense from my heart. And so the Lord started giving me scriptures. As in, first of all, I had to go to Google to search. Yeah, I went to Google to search for scriptures concerning this. It was a particular issue. I'm not going to go into it. But yeah, I had to go and search for scriptures pertaining to this. And while searching for scriptures pertaining to that, I was in 2 Timothy chapter 3. I think I was in verse 14 or 15, talking about how you have learned things from childhood and you already know the Holy Scriptures and they're able to give you give you wisdom for salvation, in Christ Jesus, right? And while in that scripture, another scripture caught my attention. Remember, I entered the world for something different. And this was the kind of Christian I was. This was the kind of life I was living. I only went to the word of God and into the presence of God in prayer. I only went to God in prayer and to the word of God whenever I needed something. Whenever I wanted quick solutions to problems. Whenever I needed something. I only remember to quote scriptures when I was sick or when I was, you know, when I had an exam to write, right? Yeah, this was the kind of life. This was the kind of Christianity. This was the kind of life I was living. But I went to scripture that day to look for something as normal. And that day, the Lord arrested me. And another scripture caught my attention. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. And it says, in New King James Version, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, what happened? In the beginning of this scripture, 2 Timothy 3, Paul was talking to Timothy about how the last days, how there will be perilous times. And he said, listing the things that will be happening in the last days. So he started about how men will be lovers of themselves. Jesus already said this. Lovers of money, boasters, proud. As in, all of this, he listed it. He listed it, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, despisers of good, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure. And then he now ends with having a form of godliness, but denying its power. As I read that scripture, you know how scripture is able to, the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the deepest thought and intent of your heart. You know how scripture is able to convict you. Oh God, it was as if someone put a mirror in front of me and I was looking at myself. I was like, Jesus. And this is a prayer that we prayed a lot in secondary school. Against this spirit of having a form of godliness, that spirit of religion, having a form of godliness, like you just know, I don't even know how best to put this, you just have a form of godliness, but you deny the power thereof. Let me read another scripture again that I went to from this one in 2 Timothy 3. I also went to Titus 1:16. That one now said, they profess to know God. Oh my God. Even reading it again, I'm having chills. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, 1, disobedient, 2, disqualified for every good work. Ha! I've never seen scripture that described my life then so much. After I read those scriptures, you know what I did? I dropped what I was pursuing. You know, I didn't even need answer for that one again. And oh yes, during this period, I was also struggling with, apart from offense, like I said, I was struggling with a lot of habits, a lot of insecurities, a lot of offenses, a lot of immoralities, a lot of thoughts, like terrible thoughts. As in, I was struggling with a lot of things. And I was also struggling with healing. Like, there was something that happened and I needed healing from. But, and I saw this scripture, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I carried myself. I said, God, have mercy on me. On that day, I can never forget, it was in June, either 25th or 26th. I don't remember the touching date. I think it was 25th. On that day, I carried myself to God. I started crying for mercy. I carried my phone. That one, they don't need to tell somebody. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I think everything that I did that day, because now I look at it, and I'm like, the only person or power that could have moved me to make such rash decisions on one day in my life could have been the Holy Spirit. Because there was no way I personally, in my own wisdom or thoughts, could have come up with something like that. I carried my phone. I went to some certain accounts. I deleted them. I went to my gallery. I deleted certain pictures. I went to music. I deleted all my music. Yes, everything. I deleted everything. I cleared my phone of music. When it came to accounts, like music listening accounts on different platforms, I deleted them. You people were wondering what happened to me that day. I'm sure if anybody saw me that day, they would have been like, this girl, she's not all right. But honestly, I thank God. And I thank God it happened in such a time as the pandemic, when, you know, all we had to do was stay inside. So I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have anything to do. Only me, my God, and my life before me, laid bare. In scripture. And I deleted. I deleted. And I just went back to God. I said, today, Lord, I rededicate my life to you. And when it comes to giving your life to Christ, I think that I would say that was the day that I actually gave. I dropped everything. Because before then, yes, I had given my life to Christ, but I was still holding on to certain aspects. I mean, we talked about this in the episode with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't listened to it, it's titled This Best Friend, featuring Sister Jane. But when it came to giving my life to Christ, I had given my life to Christ. There were things I was still holding on to. Spirit of religion, for example. I thought that the only time I needed to go to God was, you know, to do something. Having a form of godliness. There was a form of godliness, but the power thereof was just denied. The only time I went to God was when I needed something. Jesus speaking, he said that, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He doesn't stop there. This was something that the Lord later on began to teach me. That many people, he says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the verse, the scripture doesn't stop there. He said, take my yoke and my burden upon you, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light. Or rather, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. When you drop something at the cross, you have to pick up something. It's not possible to drop a burden and not pick another. If whether you like it or not, all of us were carrying burdens. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. That day, I saw my life in scripture and I decided, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that this has to be the end. And so I went back to God. Ever since then, I wouldn't say I've not fallen. I had fallen, but because I've now realized that there's a person who is able to help a man, and his name is the Holy Spirit. I had accepted the love of God for me. As in, I didn't even realize that all I needed to do was accept that God loves me. Regardless of who I was and what I was stuck in and who the world had labeled me to be, God loves me. I had to come to that reality and to that realization that first of all, God loves me, number one. Secondly, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, that the Holy Spirit will never depart from me. He will never leave me. Jesus speaking, he said, I've given you, I will send you a helper and he will be with you forever. I needed to understand that. I needed to accept that truth. And so these were the things that, you know, just gave me standing. So lessons that you can learn from my salvation experience, even though, I mean, it took a long time. Right now, I'm walking with the Lord. See, that I'm saying this story does not mean I'm perfect. I'm very far from perfect. If I was perfect, I would not need God. But I'm not perfect. And I thank God because I'm not perfect, actually. Like Paul, he said, I glory in my infirmities because in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. So I thank God that I am not perfect, because imagine a life without God. Like, that's very, it's hard to imagine. I thank God that he saved me. I thank God that no matter the amount of times that I fell into the pit, his hand was never shortened that he could not save me. And I also want to say for everyone out there, anyone out there who feels like they're going up, their life is going in a loop, or their life is going like a journey in circle, and they cannot seem to break out of it, or cannot seem to get out of it, that the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. What's stopping him from helping you is because you've not called out to him for help. You've not called out to him for help. So I really hope and pray that my story is an encouragement to everyone out there. There are a lot of lessons that have been outlined. Also, the gift of men, the importance of spiritual authority in your life. Because even after I had surrendered everything to God, I still needed mentorship. I needed training. And this was when I now started reaching out to all the people that God had placed in my life. Before then, I started reaching out to them and I started telling them, sharing things with them. And I thank God because he positioned such men in my life. So yeah, this story was long, nay. I'm trying so hard to shorten it, but we thank God. I thank you and thank God that you listened to this episode. This episode was a very hard episode to record, like I've already said, like, because I actually did not see the need sharing these things. But if the Lord thinks that somebody out there needs it, then I believe him and I believe that somebody out there needs it. So I'm sure that this episode has been a blessing to you, and do not be blessed by it alone. Do well to share. Freely you have received, freely give. And as you do so, the Lord will bless you mightily. Thank you so much for listening. I do appreciate your time, your 40 or 30 minutes. Thank you so much. God bless you immensely. Have a great week and see you on the next episode of Cedars in Lebanon. For Cedars, for creation, for Jesus.